Isaiah 40, 27 through 31, exactly. Let me go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be here for this morning. I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that all of our hearts would be open. Lord, I pray that our hunger would be of you, that we want to hear from you this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the great music you had here this morning, the job that Lindsay does, Lord, and just prepares us. Not only just prepares us, it's just a great part of the morning that you have a message through your music. And so, Lord, I pray your continual blessing upon Journey. Lord, thank you for the offices you provided. Thank you how you're just providing in special ways. And so I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At Hope Community, we do an all-church curriculum. We try to do an all-church curriculum once a year, and so in the fall when we kick off life groups, we do a life group type series. This past year, we just finished it up last week. We did a series out of this book called Hope Quotients. And it was very well received. Now, so I'm teaching out of the very first talk of the series that started in September. And it's a good book. It's a light book. So if you're, you know, like super spiritually mature, you feel like you're super spiritually mature and you can't learn from anybody else except from the King James Version, is that even for me, there are several nuggets in this book. And if you're ever interested, if your hope level is way down, that is something that God doesn't desire in your life. God desires for us to be filled with Him. And the answer to your problem is energy Mountain Dew. Now, sorry, I only have one hand here. And so the answer, if you want to have a good life, this is the answer to your problem. Now, let me just kind of do this illustration with one hand. And so if I look really dorky, it's because I'm not used to teaching with this. So we all have pressures in life. And depending on what's going on inside of us, determines on what we experience in life. Some of us, when we experience pressure, and because we're empty, we're like this. We just are destroyed. For some of us that have hope in Jesus Christ, when those same pressures come, we're like this because we're filled up. We have hope in Christ. There's a big difference of being empty in our soul and being full in our soul. Pressures either destroy us or Christ develops us. The same pressure, it's different results. The single most important thing you can do for your life is develop inner strength. And that inner strength comes from Christ alone. Just the top stressors. Think about your life and think about these are the top stressors in life. Death of a family member, terminal illness, one's own or a family member, physical incapacitation, chronic pain or chronic illness, drug, alcohol abuse, self or someone else, drug, alcohol abuse, again, a partner or a family member, divorce, marriage, loss of job or change of job, moving house, change of school, primary for children or teens, but this affects adults too. Primary relationship problems, spouse or parents, child, sibling, persistent relationship problems, difficulties with other family members, conflict and loss of friends, difficulties with coworkers, academic problems, poor grades, inability to retain information, problems with teachers, unable to meet deadlines, occupational problems, lateness, absences, problems with boss or coworkers, victim of abuse, victim of crime, criminal actions towards others, abusive actions towards self or others, extreme loneliness, The biggest disease in our world today is loneliness. Lack of community, membership, or friendship. Severe financial problems. Pretty much is everything causes stress in our life. And there's no way to get away from having a stress-free life, and we should never desire that. If we do get there, is we're dead. So how do we recharge our batteries? How do we have hope? What are some things that we could do today and put into motion that would create hope in Christ in us? And so I think of some very popular verses, Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right hand is disregarded by my God? Have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So even right now, God knows if you have an empty cup or a full cup. He knows which one of you guys are being destroyed by the pressures of life or are doing well despite of the pressures of life. Verse 28, part of verse 28, I forgot where I left off, but you're all right. You forgot too. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so as we talk about recharging your batteries and God allowing Christ to put the hope in you that never fades, that grows, that sustains us, just looking at these verses out of Isaiah reminds us it's all about God. And when I think of these verses, 27 and 28, God knows. God knows if you're empty. God knows if you're filled. If you like to take notes, and I saw there's notes on the back of your bulletin, is I want to give you four things that I want you to write down. If you want to write them down, if you don't, it's up to you. The first thing is this I want you to think about. Invest in your own growth. Invest in your own growth. There's nothing more important you can do than invest in your own growth. Even here in verse 31, the most important thing we can do is wait on the Lord, seek the Lord, follow the Lord, follow him wholeheartedly, be surrendered to him. Think about it right now. It doesn't matter how long you've known Christ or how little you've known Christ. Think about what are your supply lines to God right now. Your supply lines to Christ right now, the appropriate connection to God is corporate, which this is what I call corporate. The appropriate connections to God is community. I call small groups, life groups, whatever you, community groups, whatever you may call them out here, are important. Another connection that's important to God is your one-on-one connection, and that's your dailiness. Never underestimate the value of sitting down and reading the Word for yourself every day. Invest in your own growth. You will find when you invest in your own growth is you will develop an inner strength. And that inner strength makes all the difference in the world from you being crushed or from you having victory. When I think about investing in your own growth, I want to tell you one thing. I want to get off track here a little bit. I've known Rod since 2009, and he is a man that invests in his own growth. He's a man that invests in inner strength. And in my opinion, for being a pastor since 1994 is he is a great pastor, and I hope you guys let him know that. And so he does a great job. He loves the Lord, which is key. And when you love the Lord, is you care about what he says about your life, and that's what God gives us prophets to remind us that we matter to him, he knows everything, and he has a plan for us. And it's important that we have supply lines to hear from God. And thinking about this, you know, we have that phrase, you are what you eat. And so when we started Hope, 2006, you guys started Journey in 2009. One of the things I did, which I thought was funny, I found out that I was no longer associate pastor and people actually listened to my words as a senior pastor or lead pastor. Rod's a senior pastor. He's older than me. I'm just the lead guy since I'm younger than him. I would make comments. I'd run into people in the store. I would make comments about what they had in their grocery cart. And they just took my comments, my joking comments, way too serious. I thought I was being funny and cute, and they didn't think it was funny. Even my associate pastor said, if you want to grow the church, quit making comments about what people eat and have in their carts. Like, I would be saying, like, oh, that's enough. Oh, you like your wine there, don't you? You know, I like my wine, too. Oh, that's a lot of ice cream there, huh? But the reality, I have a son, his birthday's today. He's 22, and I have a daughter that's about to turn 24. And I saw Lindsay's birthday was in the last couple of days. I saw it on Facebook. Rod posted something very, very nice. I could tell you Rod is extremely proud of his children. And so whenever I play golf with him, he always speaks highly of Gay's, who's not his child. Rod's Gay's child, kind of. She has three children. But Lindsay and Brad, he's very, very proud of them. But my kids eat very healthy. I'm the least healthiest eater in my family. My kids cut up cucumbers, they cut up everything, and they prepare their meals for every day. And like I said, I like my ice cream with a little chocolate sauce too much, and I like, I do like red wine. But I got high cholesterol, and so I have a reason that I could drink it. It's medicinal reasons. But think about this. Think if you want to be healthy, if you want to lose weight, it all starts with what you buy. When you buy all that stuff, whatever it may be, and you walk out that door, you're setting yourself up for healthiness or unhealthiness. And when I think about investing in your own spiritual growth, which leads to hope, there's not a characteristic that's more connected, that's more enjoyable to have than hope, that having a positive outlook and confidence in the future that God has your back and God has a plan and that God is good. In 27 and 28, it talks about how God knows everything. He's the everlasting God. He's the creator. He does not faint or grow weary. His energy is always the same, and he wants to give us himself in us. Invest in your own growth. 2 Peter, some of my most favorite verses are right here, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 5. His divine power, we just talked about that, it's connected to the Old Testament, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers. Have those supply lines of the divine nature of having escaped from the corruption that is in the world that would crush us like the can because of our sinful desires, For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. And then you could read on through verse 9. Invest in your own growth. The second thing I want to bring to your attention out of here that helps us have a hope-filled life, that helps us have a life when the stresses come and the pressures come and the hurts come, the pains come, and we don't crumble, is this: build great relationships. Build great relationships. Now, in here, it doesn't say anything about how I treat you, you treat me. There are no verses in here that talk about that. But God always uses people to build our faith. There is no such thing as a spiritually well-developed, mature Christ follower who does it by himself. You have to be intentional socially and serving. I mean, think about the web in your life. Think about your relational web. I remember hearing this statistic, and I'm not going to throw out any numbers, but and it's not as applicable today, it appears. But when my phone rang when I was a child, it was in the evening, it was hardly ever for my dad. It's because what happens when men get older, they get more isolated, and their web is very weak. And what happens for women, it's easy for them to be social and have a good, healthy web. Build great relationships. That adds, God uses that to move in our life, to renew our strength, to mount us up with wings like eagles, that we should run and not grow weary. Build great relationships, and that requires skill and effort. Now, the reality is, at my age, and this is probably reality as you get older, when you're younger, you think this is never going to happen to you, but I'd rather have physical pain than emotional pain. I'd rather take a blow in the arm and get a bruise that's going to be gone in a week instead of have some emotional pain that sometimes takes years to be gone. Sometimes it sticks with us all the time. And the reality is, I am responsible for me. All of us, we at Hope, we always say no perfect people allowed. We say come as you are, but God loves you too much to allow you to stay that way. All of us have a reason to pull back. But those reasons, that path brings pain, it brings hopelessness, it brings darkness, it brings loneliness. And never brings any overcoming and never brings any emotional healing. And I am responsible for me. I'm responsible for the well-being of my soul. No one could do it for me but me. My mom can't do it. My wife can't do it. My kids can't do it. And so what happens when you build great relationships is you recognize you're not in this alone. You know, when guys tell me something about something in their life, is most of the time I can identify with it. Why? It's because I'm a guy. And I'm a guy that has had a lot of experience. And even if I can't identify with the exact pain, I could identify with pain. And God uses godly friendships to bring us to a place to fill our cup. Not only that, is build great relationships. Another reason why we don't have great relationships is we can't be in control of everything. And we're angry people. Now, most people would define angry as like throwing something or yelling. And that is part of angry. A long time ago when I was younger, let's see, I just got married. I was in 89, 90-ish. I really had a very difficult church experience. And I remember I'd go for walks after I got done teaching. Because when I got done teaching and I was teaching in public school, is I would be exhausted. And the worst thing I would do, the worst thing for me was to take a short nap. It just ruined my night. And the best thing for me to do was to exercise some way. And as I was trying to work through this stuff on my own, I discovered that I didn't know how to forgive. And I discovered that deep down, I was really an angry person. I mean, I wasn't a cusser. I'm not a cusser. I'm not a thrower of things. I'm not a yeller. And all those things have happened in my life. Not really a throwing part. But the root of anger is control. And I cannot control my future. And I have to recognize if I'm going to have healthy relationships and good relationships, that not all relationships are going to turn out as well as I was hoping. I cannot control other people. If you want to have a hope-filled life, if you want your batteries to be recharged, is work, intentionally work on building great relationships. In Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day. In the NIV it says, but encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Every day we need encouragement. Every day the person next to you needs encouragement. Every day your pastor needs encouragement. Your spouse needs encouragement. And what happens? Encouraging people always have good relationships. Encouraging people always receive encouragement back. Even today, I was sending out texts encouraging people about hope, about things they were doing at Hope, either in life or in ministry. And you know what? Almost every one of those texts I sent out is I received encouragement back. If you want to have good relationships, if you are a lonely person, if you don't have a good web, here's an area to think about, is be an encourager. Write a note. Send a text. Set up a dinner. Build great relationships. Get involved in a small group. Serve here at Journey. When you have a great relationship with Christ, it is easier to have great relationships with other people, because you know that Christ is in control. The third thing I want you to think about here, it uses the word faint. In verse 28, it says God doesn't grow faint or weary. But it talks about us in verse 30, us growing faint and weary. And I was thinking about this. What happens when our soul, what's really going on in our soul that would bring about faintness and weariness? And I think it's worry. The key component is worry. And worship replaces worry. You want to get rid of your anxiety. You want to get rid of your worry. Is you need to be a person that worships. You want to have a life like this that is strong internally. Is how do you get rid of the worship? This is definitely a worship life that gets demolished and gets crushed. Is you need to be a person of worship. And it ties back in. It all ties in together with our supply lines. It says here, Christ is the everlasting. It starts out that way. The Lord, He can never be moved at all. He's always God. He's always has been God. And He always will be God. And when we choose to align our life with Him, is our worry levels will go down. Worship replaces worry. Now, actually, I've done this I did this not really thinking of this, but I've done this unintentionally, and it has made a difference in my life. And I don't always listen to Christian music or radio. But the times that I have listened to, I think now in Reno, the main station, I can't remember what, it's not K-Love anymore, it's not Air One, that's it, it's Air One. One of them would do a 30-day challenge. They would challenge people to listen to only Christian music. And then they would have a testimony of how it really does change your outlook and how it touches you internally. Now, I've never taken that challenge, but I mentioned it in September, and some people at Hope took the challenge, and I never really heard back from what has happened in their life. But for the last month, basically, for the whole month, is I have had my station on Air One. And what I have found, that just by polluting my mind, polluting's a bad word, but polluting my mind with Christian music all the time, washing my mind, soaking in the word through music, is it has made a difference in my soul. It has made a difference in my soul. And that is a step of worship. Worship is not just singing songs here in church. That's just a component of worship. Worship is an everyday walk with Christ, of surrendering and walking with Him and seeking Him and praising Him and loving Him and following Him. And this whole book is set up for us to do it right or do it well. His worship replaces worry. Exodus, even God tells us how to use our 7 days in the week. He tells us that there's one day that needs to be different than the other 6 days. Do you go to church every day? No, you don't come here every day. But he's saying there's one day out of the week that needs to be drastically different for you to function as well as I want you to function. It needs to be drastically different than the other 6 days. The Bible calls it the Sabbath. It used to be on a Saturday, and now it's on a Sunday for most of us. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's so important. It's part of God's top ten. 6 days ye shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it ye shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. When you wait on the Lord, when you're waiting on the Lord and your lifestyle is taking on the pattern that Christ would have your lifestyle take on, is your worship will replace your worry. We did a summer series on Psalms, and I'm reading Psalms right now, and at the moment Psalms is my favorite book. For a while Isaiah was my favorite book, but Psalms, Christ is really speaking to me in Psalms. Actually, Psalms is most likely the most popular Old Testament book. Now, that's why sometimes you see in the New Testament, you see those little pocket Bibles, New Testament, and then the Psalms is connected, because Psalms is the most popular Old Testament book. Now, here are some themes from the book of Psalms. It's completely about life, right? It's about life, and it's a realistic book, because life is not always painted well, and we're not always doing as well as we should be spiritually. And so you see the writer or the writers, there's a number of different authors, it's just not David, writing about what's going on in life. It's a reality. It's a book of reality. It's a book that reveals that God is the answer to our solution. It's a book that reminds us that God is never shaken. And it's a book that reminds us that those who follow Him are always, always, dogmatically, always blessed. So you could see when the writer is in a good place spiritually, he's speaking confidently about his God. He's speaking confidently about his future. He portrays God as humongous, that God is bigger than anything in his life. You could picture his life. His life is full. His life is full. That God could beat up anyone in his life. That he is his rock. He is his fortress. And how about when the psalmist writes, not just in difficult circumstances, but when he does not have hope? It's a totally different picture of God. It's, God, where are you? My life sucks. You've abandoned me. There's a big difference from having a big God in your life and a small God. What you experience in here really is revealing to you how big your Christ is at that moment, at this moment in your life. Worship will always replace worry. Worship will always replace worry. The last point is this, and it ties into really the most popular verses. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Here's the strength it's going to be like. With wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Inner strength always happens while taking God-honoring steps. It will always happen. Your circumstances might not change this year, but you could change in the midst of your circumstances. As you listen to Christ's small voice in your soul, if you listen to his word, as you listen to God speak through Rod, and as you take appropriate steps, it will always happen. God honoring steps will always lead to inner strength. And you think about, you give yourself a scale of 1 to 10. What's your inner strength right now? And if your inner strength is strong, as you know that your relationship with Christ, if your inner strength is weak, it's not just the circumstances that are adding to that weakness. It's where you're at with Christ that's adding to that weakness. Never, never quit. Never give up. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. The faithful God. He's always faithful. Who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Inner strength always happens while taking God-honoring strength. God-honoring steps, sorry. You didn't listen to that. Whatever. So a couple months ago, I was in Walmart, and I grabbed a cart, and I grabbed a squeaky cart. And I thought about it right away, maybe 20 steps into the store, like this cart is squeakier than most. Now, I thought about taking it back because it was squeakier than most. I thought about just turning around instead. I know Walmart well enough that I came in the front left corner, and I had to go back to the far back right corner. And I knew if I walked through the store that everyone had to hear my squeaky cart. And so what did I do? I walked through the store with my squeaky cart. Now, there was a woman with a sense of humor on one aisle made a comment about my squeaky cart. And I said, would you like my squeaky cart? You want to help me out here with my squeaky cart? And she said, no, she would not. And so she left the aisle, and I went to an aisle, and she happened to be there. And I knew my cart was the squeakiest cart in all of Walmart. And I said to her, I asked her again, would you like to have my squeaky cart? And she just smiled and laughed, and she said no. I was thinking, this is so applicable to life. Because some of us know right now there's something not right within us. And we're choosing to walk around with it. When we don't have to walk around with it. As Christ is offering a new start, Christ is offering a different life, Christ is offering emotional healing, Christ is offering financial freedom, Christ is offering an abundant life. You could walk around with that crappy cart. You could walk around with all that crap in your life. It's your choice. Or you could come to the place that can change your life. And he changed my life in 1985 when I opened my heart to him. And as I continue to open my heart to him and make that daily decision to surrender him and confess my sins, that has been the best decision I have ever made. We're going to close here in a song, and if like Rod likes to have an invitation, if you'd like to come forward, there's a gentleman up here to pray with you. Doesn't matter what it would be. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, you know you got a squeaky cart. Other people might not know about it, but you know there's something not right. Don't leave this morning without getting right with Christ. Guys, thanks for having me.